Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process. I'm your host, Greg Wareham. Wanted to get into some topics in reference to the economy and what's been going on. And I wanted to specifically start by talking about some of the things that NAR has recently come out with, the National Association of Realtors. So in the aftermath of the Federal Reserve's first rate cut, since August of 2023, we saw that rate cut back in September of 2024. Since then, both economic growth and inflation have decelerated, which led to another decline or short-term decline in mortgage rates. We did see the interest rates start to tick back up again pre the election, post the election, like right after those 2 weeks, and we're starting to see them trend back down again. Now, even with interest rates falling, they're still, over the course of the past couple of years, have been under the 50-year average of 7.7%. So meanwhile, in the economy, inventory in housing has steadily increased since the beginning of the year, providing home buyers with a wider range of options. The combination of these lower mortgage rates that we're starting to see and steadily increasing housing inventory is expected to attract more home buyers to the market in the upcoming quarter. In the quarter we're in right now, quarter three. Now, we've seen a little bit of that, but what we haven't seen yet is the surplus of inventory, right? And I think it's in part because rates just haven't come down low enough. So notably, two leading indicators are signaling an improvement in overall housing affordability. The pending home sales index, which is a leading indicator of home sales activity, has risen to its highest level since March of 2024. Similarly, the Mortgage Bankers Association Purchase Index, which tracks home purchasing loan application, has also increased, suggesting the market activity will increase between now and the beginning of next year. All of these are good signs for housing. Now, despite a slight decrease in new residential construction, the construction industry added 25,000 workers in the month of September alone. Now, the reports for October and November are not out yet, but that's a significant amount of people added to the new construction industry. So if the economy continues to add jobs in the construction industry, we continue to see inflation decelerating, which we have seen, and the mortgage rates hold steady, and the hope is that they come down slightly by spring of 2025, housing inventory levels will grow. And I just want to talk about that for a moment. So the thought is we're finally getting construction companies to hire more people because construction is starting to pick up. That's obviously organically going to help with housing inventory. You couple that with more housing affordability and lower interest rates, that could be a good sign for home buyers moving into 2025. In addition, as the market is in the final quarter, the 10-year Treasury yield and mortgage rates do present an optimistic outlook for home buyers who are uncertain about entering the market. I think since post the election, we've certainly started to see that stability with interest rates. Now, they're, of course, not as low as we want them to be, but at least they've stabilized, and we're not seeing huge swings one way or the other. I think when it comes to any market, being a market of home buyers, home sellers, the economy as a whole, volatility is your worst enemy. So when you see sharp spikes and sharp decreases in interest rates, it kind of gives you a hope and failure feeling almost simultaneously because these things have been happening on a week-to-week basis. We've been fortunate enough to see some stability over the course of the past 30 days. So overall, existing home sales activity is projected to see growth in the coming months, while the median sales price gains are expected to decelerate, aligning with slower inflation and additional housing supply. So all of that's according to the National Association of Realtors, and it's all optimistic outlook for the future. I would hope it's going to be optimistic, considering that we've seen a very pessimistic view over the course, or a pessimistic reality over the course of the past 7 years, or excuse me, over the course of the past several years. So I want to get into some specifics with economic activity. So when you look at gross domestic product, the economy grew at a slower rate in the third quarter of this year, according to the advanced estimate from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The real gross domestic product increased by 2.8% in the third quarter of 2024. And now that's a decline. When you go to Q3 of 2023, the GDP was at a 4.4% growth rate. Q2 of 2024, it was at a 3% growth rate. So we have seen that starting to decline. It's funny, I'm looking at the graph right now, and you overall see that GDP pretty steady in that 2 to 4% rate over the course of time, with the exception of course, COVID in 2020, where you see a 30% decline followed by a 30% incline. Other than that, things have been pretty flat. Now, in September, when the Fed had cut the interest rates, the federal funds rate did drop, as we previously noted on other podcasts, for the first time since August of 2023. As they meet in December, the plan is, or the feel in the field is, that the next rate cut could be 0.5%, could be 0.25%, or could be 0. Now, 70% of analysis or analysts out there are suggesting that the Fed's probably going to cut things by 25 basis points or 0.25%. So we will see, and we will keep you posted on that. Looking at overall inflation has declined. Consumer prices did rise by 2.4% in the last report that we had in September. For the end of that quarter, as anticipated in the wake of the Federal Reserve cut, you would imagine that would have declined. Shelter costs rose by 4.9%, and together with food, contributed to over 75% of the monthly all items inflation increase. So just kind of break that down. So we did see inflation was there, but a big percentage of the inflation, it came from housing and it came from food. So which we've all felt that pain in the supermarket, then of course out in the housing field. But when you look at September of 2023, inflation had grown at 3.7, August of 24, 2.5, September 2.4, and it stayed relatively flat into the month of October. Talking about consumer spending. So consumer spending, do you think it's up or down? Drum roll. Well, it's up. And well, why is it up? It's up because the cost of goods are up. I mean, we've seen a steady increase. In September of 2023, consumer spending was at $19 trillion. August of 24, it jumped to $19.9 trillion. And September of 24, it jumped to $20 trillion. And personal consumption expenditures, they increased by 0.5%. Now, it doesn't sound like a big increase, but the reality is that from a dollar perspective, you know, it's $105 billion. So it's a pretty significant jump. And it's an increase that we're probably not going to see get pulled back a little until inflation continues to drop and the manufacturers start to align with that. Treasury bond yield, it's been a moving target. So we've seen the Treasury bond yield dip. We've seen it spike into the mid to high fours over the course of the past 12 months. And then we saw a dip to closer to the mid threes. And right now it's been hovering somewhere around 4.2, 4.3. So it does move on a day-to-day basis. As all of us know from listening to the podcast, that 10-year Treasury bond yield generally does have a direct impact on long-term interest rates. So the good news is we're probably going to see that number drop over the course of time. Now, when we look at employment, the U.S. labor market had risen by 254,000 jobs in September, and we had spoken about that in a previous podcast. When you look at the increases month over month, you know, they've been typically in that, you know, in that 150 million employment range, you know, 156.7 million September of 23, 158.8 in August of 23, and 159 million September of 24. Your unemployment rate has continued to stay pretty steady. I mean, it was 3.8% in September of last year, and it's 4.1% currently. And it's been hovering right around there. You see some slight variations depending on which report you're reading, but we've been right around that, those low fours, 4.1 to 4.2. Now, the jobs do vary throughout the country, and I'm not going to do a deep dive as to too many different parts of the country, but let's just take a quick overview of the overall employment situation. In September, 37% of all employees were concentrated in the five largest states, meaning California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Pennsylvania. And it's also concentrated pretty heavily in our backyard in New Jersey at 4.4 million. So 34 states report an unemployment rate at or below the national average of 4.1%. The states with the lowest unemployment rate, South Dakota 2%, Vermont 2.2%, North Dakota 2.3%. And in contrast, the highest unemployment rates that we're seeing in the country, District of Columbia 5.7%, Nevada 5.6%, and California's unemployment rate is up there at 5.3%. Now, from a housing standpoint, we're going to just do a real quick national overview. Median sales price has continued to rise from last year to this year. It's up about 3% nationally over that 12-month time frame. It's went from 392,000 to about 405,000. So in the wake of everything else going on in the marketplace, inflation and unemployment rising, all of that, we've still seen housing pricing from a national standpoint rise by 3%. Now, the home affordability index reached its highest level in February 2023 with an index of 105.5. This indicates that the typical family earns 5.5% more than the income needed to qualify for a medium-priced home purchase across the country. And that was really a result of lower interest rates. So that affordability index clearly is up significantly to 105.5%. because interest rates are higher. So with all that being said, I'm going to close on residential construction. Residential construction has a construction creation of 1.35 million units. And we've certainly seen, as we indicated earlier, a lot more people are coming into the construction field. As a result of that, that's a good sign for construction to continue and to create more housing for people over the course of time. Building permits have remained relatively constant, indicating that there's no sign of construction slowing down anytime soon. So I know that's a huge overview from a national level, but I think it's important that we understand, even in our local markets, what's going on nationally, and then also understanding what's going on locally. So please prepare for our next podcast, which is going to be a deeper dive on what's going on in New Jersey. We're going to go through the New Jersey state as a whole from a real estate standpoint, see what the changes look like there, and then we're also going to drill down on a couple of counties. So look forward to catching up with you next week. Greg Wareham, Your Mortgage Process. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process, hosted by Greg Wareham. Produced by Greg Wareham and Nick Pavese at The Social Rift and executively produced by The Social Rift. Thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.